Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, recognizing the working of the spirit in others and tolerance are the key words that help to focus on the central message of this weekend. For while we believe that the Catholic Church contains the whole truth of Christ, we continue to pray and work towards unity with all prophetic children of God, as Jesus prayed that they all may be one. The first story today tells us of two men who have stayed back in the camp while the Lord God descended in the form of a cloud on the tent of meeting. One was called Eldad and the other Medad. Even though they were not among the 70 elders initially chosen by Moses, the Spirit descended on these two men, and they began to prophesy. Moses is magnanimous enough to discern the will of God here and add the two to the 70 to make the total number of elders 72. Through this event, Moses is able to recognize the universality of the action of the Spirit. And when Joshua wants to see the action of God within the institution headed by Moses, Moses himself has a broader perspective. And Moses answered him, "Are you jealous for my sake?" Again, would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. And a similar situation is presented in the gospel story today, where the apostle John says, "Master, we saw someone who is not one of us drive out devils in your name, and because he was not one of us, we tried to stop him." And Jesus emphatically tells him, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me." You know, Jesus reminds us that his kingdom is not about institutions. It's not even about the in-group, you know, the churched, or the out-group, the unchurched. But it's about the hearts of people. And God has the possibility to work within the hearts of people as he desires, not as we think. In the gospel, the disciples had to learn that their way was, in fact, a much narrower way than the Lord's way, and that their narrow perspective was actually an obstacle to the Lord getting his work done. In contrast to the disciples, Jesus was able to recognize and encourage goodness wherever he found it. He knew that the Spirit blows where it will. He was alert to the presence of the Spirit in anyone. Both the first reading and the gospel remind us to be inclusive and tolerant, and to not let our pride blind us to the good works that can be done in and through and by all people. For as Jesus says, again, "For whoever is not against us is for us." You know, we all have a role to play in recognizing and supporting the work of the Spirit within each other. Toward this end, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul says, "Do not quench the Spirit." How do we quench the Spirit in others? There are several examples. We can become a stumbling block, an obstacle to God's working in their lives. We can quench the Spirit in others and hinder their good work that God is doing through them for a whole variety of human reasons. We can be motivated by jealousy, as Moses suggests Joshua was in today's first reading. And Jesus warns us not to cause one of the little ones to sin, or we will be called to judgment. And like the disciples, we can refuse to acknowledge God's good work in the lives of others because they are not one of us, because they belong to a different church or religion or ethnic group. We can be dismissive of the good someone else is doing simply because it's not the way we would have done it, forgetting that the Holy Spirit works in many diverse ways in people's lives. This discussion asks us to invite ourselves, we who believe and belong to the Catholic Church, several questions. How do we look at somebody who does not belong, who is not one of us? And what if this someone who is not one of us demonstrates more faith, shows a greater commitment to Christian values, and even has some visible gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do we exaggerate our tribal need to belong by inventing an us versus them attitude and behavior, even in the name of religion or salvation? Do we want to capture our God, box him in, so to speak, and determine who is rightly on fire for him and not allow the fact that, again, the Spirit blows where it wills? And perhaps we should remind ourselves what the Catholic Church itself has said in this regard. For the Church Fathers in the Vatican II, the Council of Vatican II, says, since Christ died for all men, and since the ultimate vocation of man is in fact one and divine, we ought to believe that the Holy Spirit, in a manner known only to God, offers to every man the possibility of being associated with the Paschal mystery. We must have faith that our God knows what he's doing. We should not want to capture the will of God within the visible confines of any institution or earthly authority. And this is at the heart of what Jesus says as we hear it in the gospel story today. In a sense, who are we humans even daring to say who is saved and who is not saved? Our focus should be on what we can meaningfully do. Our job is to keep sharing our own experience of God with others, evangelizing our own environments, as we also take time to wonder at the marvelous work that God is doing in other people's lives. Yes, God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. So this weekend, let us pray that all might be prophets, that all might struggle against sin and against harming anyone. Let us give thanks for all who do good and pray that we may also do good. Amen.